You're listening to a message from Stonegate Church. For more information about Stonegate and additional audio resources, please visit stonegate.church.
Last week, we started really what's a whole month of celebrating our 15th birthday. It's a huge milestone in the life of our church family, and it's been a good chance for us as we're celebrating our 15th birthday, both this month and in September, to just be able to re-say what it is that we are and what it is that we do. And so last week, we went right to the core of what it is that we are and what it is that we do, and we worked through this idea of Jesus enjoyment. Here's what we are. We are people who enjoy the Lord. And so on our 15th birthday, a new space, this really is a new moment for us, but we just want to remind you that it's the same old mission. We're about the same things around here. It is the exact same mission. We are Jesus enjoyers. This is what we do. This is what we are. We are people who enjoy Jesus. And now today, I want to take another step. Yes, we are people who enjoy Jesus. And yes, we are people who stay present with Jesus. Stay present with Jesus. And that's what I want to work out with you today. And that takes us to our text, Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 38, Martha welcomes Jesus and his disciples into their home. And now you get to verse 39, and here's what we read in verse 39. And Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, let me try to just give some context of what Mary is in this text. Mary is a picture of what it looks like to stay present with Jesus, to be present with Jesus. Now, what do we mean when we're talking about staying present or being present with Jesus? Well, to be present with Jesus, to stay present with Jesus means Jesus has our full attention. Our attention is given to him and him alone. That's what it means to be present with him. And look at Mary in this text. She is sitting at the Lord's feet. She is attentive to Jesus. She is listening. And that's a straining type of listening. That is, I'm hanging on every word. Jesus, I am here. I am listening. I am attentive. Now, being present is less about physical location, and it's more about our heart's preoccupation. What has our attention? What are we giving our gaze to? What are we listening for? Caleb, my 14-year-old, loves to point out those moments. If you've got a kiddo and they do this, I'm sorry. But he loves to point out these moments where I've just completely zoned out. You know those moments? You're sitting around in a group of people and you are like staring off into the distance at who knows what. And anytime he catches me doing that, he'll say something like, hey guys, anybody know what planet Dad's on? Right? It's just a way for him to acknowledge he's here, but he's not here. He is in some other place right now. And Mary, she was not just there. She was really there. She was present. Yes, she was physically present, but more than her being physically present, her heart was present. She was attentive to Jesus. She sat at the Lord's feet and she is listening to him. She's attentive to him. Her heart is present with him. She's listening, beholding, gazing. Now, here's what I love about this moment. In this moment, Mary is the happiest person in the world, because she is present with Jesus, the most important person in the world, the biggest person in the world, the most enjoyable person in the world. She's not self-absorbed in this moment, just thinking about herself. No, she is outside of herself, and she is looking to the most important, the most enjoyable being there is. She's looking at Jesus. She's present with Jesus. She's fully there. She's giving her attention to Jesus. Now we get the contrast. So here's Mary. Mary is a picture of what it looks like to be present with Jesus. Here's the contrast. Now we get to Martha. Now, what is Martha in this text? She is a picture of what it looks like to be distracted from Jesus. So Mary, present with Jesus. Martha, distracted from Jesus. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted. There's Martha in our text. Martha is there. Right, she's physically in the house. She's there, but she's not there. I don't know what planet Martha's on, but she's not on this planet. right? She is not there. She's lost the most valuable thing that she can give Jesus in this moment, and that's her attention. Martha was distracted. Now, what does it mean to be distracted? When a person is distracted, here's what's happened. Their attention has drifted from the most important things to unimportant things. That's what it means to be distracted. Our attention has gone from what is big in our life to small things in our life. You could think of distraction like this. Distraction is disordered attention. It's when our attention has left the big things for the small things. It's giving your attention to what is trite and trivial rather than what is big and beautiful and great. And that is Martha in our text. Jesus, the great treasure, right? That's what we talked about last week. He is that treasure that a man found in a field. He, in his joy, sold everything so that he could have the treasure, enjoy the treasure forever. Jesus, the great treasure, is right here before her, but she is just not there to enjoy him. She's not present with him. She is distracted from him. Now, this is what I love about this text. This text is giving us time and space. It's really an invitation for us to ask a set of questions about our life. What has our attention? What has your attention? Are you present with Jesus, or are you distracted from Jesus? Think about John 15. In John 15, Jesus says to his disciples, "Abide in me," right? That is a command. Abide in me. To abide in Jesus means staying present with Jesus. It means giving in an ongoing way our attention to Jesus, right? So rather than thinking about Jesus maybe from Sunday to Sunday, like we think about Jesus when we go to church, rather than thinking about Jesus Sunday to Sunday or maybe even day to day, abiding in Jesus is being present with Jesus. It's thinking about Jesus. It's interacting with Jesus moment by moment by moment in our life. What has your attention? Are you present with Jesus? Abiding in Jesus? Just think about your life in kind of that habitual way. Like, is this how you live? Are you staying present with Jesus, or are you distracted from Jesus? Now, I can't overstate the importance of these questions in a Christian's life today. Like, these questions that this text brings to us are some of the most important questions for us to deal with in our life, because we live in what has been called the age of distraction. That's just the time and place that God has seen fit to plant your life. You live in the age of distraction. Economists are helpful when they point out that we have gone from a material-based economy to, now, an attention-based economy. That's the economy that you and I are doing our life in. So a material-based economy is where we were 100 years ago. So if you just sort of rewind the clock 100 years ago, you're going to find the biggest companies in America are producing things, right? It's things like steel and oil and gas and food, etc. It's a material-based economy. They're producing materials. Now we live in this attention-based economy. Now the biggest companies in America are tech companies, companies like Alphabet, the parent company of Google, right? Companies like Facebook, companies like Apple. These are the biggest companies in America now. So think about what these companies are doing. Think about what Facebook is doing, and YouTube is doing, and Instagram is doing, and Google is doing, and TikTok is doing. Here's what they do. They sell your attention. That's what they're doing. They're selling your attention. You don't just use social media. You are also being used by social media, right? This is how it works. You are the product. You are the commodity. You are the thing being sold on social media. That's what's happening. Instagram doesn't charge you because Instagram is selling you. It's selling your attention to the highest bidder. As the CEO of Microsoft said, "We've moved from a world where computing power was scarce to a world where it is now almost limitless. Now, the true scarce commodity is increasingly human attention." That's the commodity, your attention, your eyeballs, what you're going to be fixated on and staring at. Friend, you are in a war for your attention. Now, I just need you to feel that this morning. This is what this text is just inviting us into. This war isn't new. It was all the way back in the first century, Mary and Martha were experiencing it. But it has been heightened in our day and age. You, friend, are in a war for your attention. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted. Distracted. By what? Well, in this text, it goes on to say, Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, that's the irony. This is what was distracting her. Serving God was distracting her. Distraction, in a lot of ways, is like a shape shifter in our life. It will just take on whatever form it would like to be as efficient as possible from drawing your attention away from what's most important to things that are trite and trivial. And it will even take the form of good things like serving. So this text offers us really good insight. This text teaches us that even good things become bad things when they distract us from the greatest thing. So even good things in your life, when it's distracting you from the great thing, from God himself, has become a bad thing. It's something distracting you from God. You can't be present in the middle of that distraction. No, that thing is distracting you from God, from being present with God, from giving your full attention to God. This text is showing us that even good things can block our sight of Jesus. That even good things can blunt our affections and our enjoyment of Jesus. And that really is the irony. Serving Jesus is the very thing keeping Martha from being present with Jesus. But Martha was distracted. Does Jesus have your full attention? Are you staying present with Jesus? Or are you distracted from Jesus? Now, why are these questions so important? Well, if you are distracted from Jesus, you will never be satisfied in Jesus. Because to enjoy Jesus, you actually have to be present with him. You've got to be like with him, attentive, like your gaze is toward him. You're listening. You're actually there and with him. And friend, here is one good thing that for many of us has become a bad thing because it is distracting us from the greatest thing. Here's that one thing, our phones. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. And when I say phones, it's a stand-in for all the ways we're consuming media. So maybe your particular application needs to be video games, or maybe it's TV or whatever it is, but phones are like right there at the tip of the spear of distraction for us. Microsoft did a survey that found that 77% of young adults answered yes when asked this question. When nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is reach for my phone. The first thing I do. And there's a lot of reaching happening. According to studies, the average person checks their phone 344 times a day. That's every 4 minutes we're checking our phone. So chances are, just in the last, 30 or so minutes that we've been in here, it's been multiple times that you've checked your phone, that you've drawn it out for some reason. 344 times a day. This is what you call a digital addiction. That's the name of it, right? A digital addiction. And listen, we don't even have a problem admitting it anymore. Another study found that almost half, 47% of adults, consider themselves addicted to their phones. Addicted, 344 times a day. Now, think about the biblical command to pray without ceasing. Right? This is the way we're supposed to live, right? To pray without ceasing. That command claims all of those little transitional moments in our day. Like we just hung up the phone and we've got 60 seconds before the next thing. It's claiming that moment. Pray without ceasing. Abide in me, Jesus says. Those commands are claiming that little moment. That 60-second walk to the bathroom. That 5 minutes before the next meeting. Praying without ceasing. Abiding in Jesus. Staying present with Jesus is claiming all of those little moments. This is how we stay present with Jesus. This is how we keep our attention to Jesus, on Jesus. We're giving all of these little moments to him, to talk to him, to pray to him, to commune with him, to enjoy him in all of those little moments. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. But those moments, Right? Those moments of us sitting with Mary at Jesus' feet, being present with Jesus, those moments are being pillaged by our habitual reach for our phones. We're literally distracting ourselves to death. Or we could say it this way. We're distracting ourselves into distance with God. Why? Well, because if you're distracted from Jesus, you'll never be satisfied in Jesus. To enjoy Jesus, you actually have to be present with him. You've got to stay present with him. That is the only way you will enjoy him. And the tip of that distraction spirit, I just want to say it again, for most people in this room, is your phone. Tim Keller was once asked, why do you think young Christian adults struggle so deeply with God as a personal reality in their life? In other words, why do they struggle with God just staying up there in sort of an abstract, theoretical sense, but he's not down here, like real, concrete, like there in front of me? Like, why is that? Why is he way up there and not like down here, a reality in their life? Why? And here was his reply. It's because of noise and distraction. It's so much easier to tweet than pray. I agree. Welcome to the problem in a lot of our lives, right there. Americans spend, on average, 2 hours a day on social media. The average American teenager spends 5 hours a day on social media. Friend, if we prayed half as much as we perused our feeds, God would be a reality in our life, right? We would be wide awake to the reality of God in our life. We are in a war for our attention. And friends, this is a war that we cannot afford to lose because our affections follow our attention. This is what happens with your affections, like your desires and your loves. They follow where your attention goes. What you look at is what you begin to grow to love. This is how it works in our life. Or as Paul says to the Corinthian church, what we behold, we become. Friends, what you're giving your attention to is drawing your heart toward it. This is why we cannot afford to lose this war for attention. There's too much at stake. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted. And the question is, are you distracted? Are you present with Jesus, staying present with Jesus? Or are you distracted? Maybe we could ask it this way. Picture you in the passage. And you're going to now be a stand-in for either Martha, distracted away from Jesus, or Mary, who is present, just living in a very present way with Jesus, just in the middle of whatever else is going on, work, all the things happening, just staying present, abiding, praying without ceasing, just living their life with Jesus. Would you be a stand-in for Martha in this text, or Mary? Where would you be in this text? Are you distracted? What has your attention? But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up and said to Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Jesus, you got to do something about this. Tell her to get back here and help me. Verse 41, but the Lord answered her. And I just wonder how many of us need to hear this from the Lord today. Martha, Martha, that's not the Lord shaming her, trying to embarrass her. This is a person that Jesus loves. This is a dear sister of Jesus. And Jesus is inviting her to a new way of living, to see something that she can't see right now. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But Martha, one thing, just one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Now, this is Jesus looking at Martha and us and saying, listen, there is one thing that's necessary in your life and in my life. And that one thing has a name, and his name is Jesus. That's the one necessary thing. He was the one thing you were made for. God designed your heart to be dazzled by Jesus. Jesus is the one necessary thing. And Mary has chosen the good portion. She was not distracted by the trite and the trivial, the small and unnecessary and unimportant. No, she gave herself to the one great thing, the one satisfying thing, the one necessary thing. She was present with Jesus. And because she was present with Jesus, she was enjoying Jesus. Now, if we are in a war for our attention, which we are, the question is, what can we do about that? How can we wage that war? What can we do? And this is what I want to spend the rest of our time just thinking about this morning. What can we do? And I want to invite you to do three things. And here's the first thing. Here's one thing we need to do. If we're going to wage this war for our attention and not lose the war, if we're going to be in this fight, here's the first thing we can do, is just to notice it. To notice. The goal of our life is to walk with Jesus. Walking with Jesus means in every moment, just moment by moment, we are present with him as we work, as we go to school, as we do all the things that make up our life, that Jesus has our attention. There's a thing happening in our life, work, all the things, and there's another thing happening in our life. We are abiding with Jesus, communing with Jesus, praying to Jesus, attentive to Jesus, present with Jesus, right? This is what it means to walk with the Lord, and we all want to walk with God. This is the goal of our life, and if that's the goal, then we should ask, what's distracting me from Jesus? What's distracting me from the greatest thing? What is blocking my view of God? What is blunting my affections for God? Now, I just want to confess this, that this sermon is really more for me than it is for you. One of the things that I have noticed in my own life over the last few weeks and months is just way too much what I would just call like mindless scrolling. Just so much of that in my life. And on Wednesday morning, Daniel Bodderf, he led our 21 days of prayer, and they have been amazing, by the way. Monday through Thursday, we are on right here, all four of those mornings each week, from 6 to 7 doing a prayer meeting. We're just praying a psalm back to the Lord. It's been so good. You should totally come and enjoy the Lord with us in that. But last Wednesday morning, Daniel was walking us through Psalm 19, and we were just praying that back to the Lord. And he gave everyone there space to work out this question. Here was the question he presented to us. If something keeps you today from enjoying God, from encountering God, from hearing from God, if something keeps you from that today, what will that be? You can think about that in your own life. If this week you miss God, you're just distracted from God, you don't encounter God, you don't listen to the Lord, you're just going to miss what he has for you. What will keep you from it? What's going to be the culprit this week? And in that moment, I'm just listening for the Lord to help me see it, right? And here was just, I'm sitting right back there in the back of the auditorium, and here's what the Lord brought to me. Rodney, it will be because at the first moment of boredom, you habitually reach for your phone, not me. That's what's going to keep you from me. That's why you're going to miss me. That's why you're not going to enjoy me like I would love for you to enjoy me. And friend, you need to ask the Lord to help you see it. Just to notice it. What is distracting you from Jesus? Here's why you need to ask Jesus. In our text, Martha couldn't see her problem. To Martha, serving didn't feel like a distraction. It felt like the one necessary thing, right? This is why she looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, get Mary to stop doing what she's doing with you and to get her back here with me. She just couldn't see this moment for what it was. Martha didn't think of herself as distracted. She thought of herself as dutiful. And Jesus had to show her, no, this is not duty what you're doing. This is not obedience to me what you're doing. This is distraction, Martha. You are giving your attention to something less than me. Martha, come back into the living room and enjoy me. Right? He had to help her see that. And friends, chances are you're going to need help from the Lord in seeing this. So let's ask the Lord that question. Jesus, what is it that is distracting me from you? If this week I miss you, why will that be? What will be the culprit? If you're married, you should ask your spouse that. They're going to have good insight to that, just helping you notice these things, right? And you should not just notice it, distraction. You should notice the effects of distraction. Distraction doesn't just keep us from enjoying Jesus. It keeps us from enjoying one another. In most marriages, there is a low-grade hurt. Mike could even use the word resentment around phones. Because phones are not just robbing our attention from Jesus, they're robbing our attention from our spouses, from our kids. Phones are also doing that in our life. Years ago, I remember Laura looking at me and saying, Rodney, I just want to throw that phone out the window. I'm like, that might be more than low-grade hurt. I don't know. I'm not sure what I'm seeing here, right? But I just remember her saying that, Rodney, I'm going to throw your phone out the window. And so this week, I thought about that, and I asked Laura this week, Laura, are you feeling any of that sort of low-grade hurt or resentment? And her answer was, yes. Yes. So I had a moment of just confessing that to her, repenting of that to her, asking forgiveness for her. It was just a sweet moment around that. I wonder how many of us need to have that moment with our spouse. Maybe it's with our friends. Maybe it's with our kids. But because, again, our phone is not just robbing our attention from Jesus, but from those we love. So I'm just asking you to notice, to see what's happening in your life with distraction. Are you staying present with Jesus, or are you being distracted from Jesus? And what is the culprit of that distraction, to notice it? And then secondly, to question it. What we're distracted by has a way of showing us what we value most, what we love most, what we fear most. And this was true for Martha. Jesus helps Martha see through her distraction all the way to her heart. So he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. This is Jesus showing her what's behind her distraction. And for Martha, behind her distraction was fear. Behind your distraction is something. I don't know what that is, but you should question it. You should ask Jesus. You should be inquisitive and curious about, why am I so distracted? What am I using distraction for? I've been asking that question over the last little week or so of just, okay, God, would you give me insight into what that is? Why that is? Why am I habitually reaching for my phone, not you? What is that? The Lord has just kind of just kept bringing this word of escape up this week. I'm using it for escape. It pulls me out of boredom, like instantly. It's like it'll just relieve that sense of boredom. It gives quick relief when something's hard. But unfortunately, it is also robbing my attention from Jesus and those around me. So we should question it. What are we using that distraction for? And thirdly, we have to resist it. So notice it, question it, and then resist it. But we live in the age of distraction. We are in a war for our attention. That means we have to wage that war. We have to resist it. We have to fight. And let me give you two ways we can resist, two ways that we can fight. One is through fasting. Now, fasting in the scriptures is most often applied to food, right? So fasting is one way we remind ourselves that food is not my God, God is. Food is not the source of my happiness, God is. But in our attention-based economy, it's easy to see how fasting should be applied to more than food. It should also be applied to our phones. Because just like food is powerful, our phones are very powerful. And each day, many, if not all of us in this room, most of us in this room, habitually turn to our phones, even more often than we do sugar, for that quick hit of happiness. Right? This is what's happening in our life, just habitually. 344 times a day, habitually. Right? It's just looking and grasping at that quick hit of happiness. And one way we can fight that is through fasting. Now, what might fasting look like? I'll just give you some options here and some encouragement. What if you offered 1 week a year of, God, I'm gonna get away from my phone so that I can be fully attentive to you? For the last few summers, we've been taking groups of people from Stonegate to Colorado to do 4 and 5 day hikes. It has been, I've just had such profound experiences with the Lord. It's been amazing. It's so good. There's something about being with brothers and beautiful scenery, doing something hard. I mean, God is just like shows up in some wonderful ways. But one of my favorite things about those 4 and 5 day hikes is there's no phone. There's not even a watch. Because they want you to be fully attentive to and present with Jesus and with one another. I love the way they say it. They say it like this: be where your boots are. That's what their goal is. For you to be where your boots are, for you to be fully present right there where you are. And if your goal is to cultivate an attentiveness to Jesus, to stay present with Jesus, to abide in Jesus, to pray without ceasing, to walk with the Lord, however you want to talk about that. If that's our goal, to stay present with Jesus, would it be good for us to have a week, a year where we fast from our phone? Just to cultivate that attentiveness. I think it would be for almost everyone in the room. What that looks like, you can figure that out. But I think that would be a really good habit, rhythm for us to get into, to fast 1 week every year. Secondly, to fast one evening every week. One evening every week. just giving one evening a week to be present with Jesus and one another. And maybe that's on your Sabbath day, that day that we rest from our work so that we can rest in and enjoy the Lord. Maybe that would be a good day for us to say, here's the evening, we're going to fast from our phone so we can cultivate that attentiveness. And if that's the goal, if our goal is to cultivate being present with Jesus, staying present with him, wouldn't it be good if we had an evening a week where we just, in an undistracted way, could enjoy our God without touching our phones every 4 minutes? Just an evening a week to give to him. I think for almost all of us, the answer would be yes. That would be really good if we wanted to cultivate attentiveness. And then thirdly, we can offer 1 hour every Sunday. Fast for 1 hour every Sunday. You know, we call this room an auditorium, and I like the name of that, calling this an auditorium, because it's telling us what this room is for, the purpose of the room. In this room, here is what we do. We listen to God. That's why it's an auditorium. It's a place for us to listen, strain in our listening. To hear from God. That's what this room is for. We do what Mary did in this room. We offer our full attention to Jesus. We stay present with Jesus. We are listening to his teaching. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think it would be good if in your life you gave 1 hour every Sunday morning when you gather with the church to give your full attention to him, to be absolutely, totally present, totally there with Jesus for this hour? Would that be good for you? Answer is yes. I think everyone in the room would be like, yep, that would be really, really good for me. But doing that is almost impossible because of that little device that is made for distraction that's in your hand because of that phone. Because every 4 minutes we're reaching for it. The moment we feel an ounce of boredom, rather than going to God, we're habitually reaching for that phone. It is a device designed for distraction, to pull your attention to it. Now, I feel this. Again, this is not me shaming you. It's like, I feel this. This is more for me than it is for you this morning. A few months ago, Jimmy was preaching. And listen, Jimmy is a great preacher. He is one of the best preachers I know. He is not hard to pay attention to. Right? He is really, really good. And I'm on the front row. Man, I'm trying to pay attention. So I'm on the front row. Jimmy's preaching. It's a great sermon. All of that is there. And can I tell you what happened in the span of about 30 seconds for me? Front row, listening to preaching. And all of a sudden, I think, you know what? I'm in the middle of a project at the house. Where am I in that project? Oh, yeah, I need that thing. The next thing I know, I'm on Amazon, and I am pushing complete purchase in the middle of the sermon. I mean, that's shameful. This is what these devices are designed to do. And listen, again, it's like, this isn't just a me problem. It just happened on that same Sunday, we had a friend who doesn't know Jesus that came to Stonegate. And here was his unsolicited feedback at the end of the services. He said, you know, guys, everyone was on their phone during that service, right? You know that. And we're like, yeah, I mean, they're using it for their Bible and they're reading the Bible on and all that. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Now, on the row in front of me, like half that row was killing that Candy Crush. That's what was happening. Again, this is what's happening on a Sunday morning. I'm just saying we would all say it would be wonderful if we gave our full attention for the hour that we're together and none of us are doing it. And we think that's a problem that needs to be tended to in my heart and in your heart. That we need to figure out ways to fight in a better way than we have been. So here is what we're going to do. Starting next Sunday, we're going to add a new element into every one of our services. It's going to be right after our pastoral prayer and right before our scripture reading. I would just think of it like this. It's a power down liturgy. And here is what it's going to say. We're just going to say this collectively together every Sunday starting next week. I'm going to read it to you. We gather today to worship you, Lord, because you are worthy of focus and praise. We confess we are a distracted people who live in a distracted world. So God, help us be present with you and with each other, spiritually as well as physically. With our minds, as with our bodies, worship begins with attention. So we give ours to you as an offering, O God. turning our devices, or turning off our devices and turning up our gaze to Jesus. Yeah. Now, obviously, we can't make you power down your phone, but we're inviting you to do it. Because I think if you'll do it, it'll help you stay present with Jesus and attentive to Jesus while we're here. It'll keep you from that Amazon purchase. It'll keep you from checking your calendar for the next thing that you got to look at. It'll keep you from all of that. It'll help you stay present to and attentive to Jesus, giving your full attention to him. And I also want to talk to parents just for a moment. We're also moving in this direction in our student ministry. We're going to create a phone-free kind of environment in their services. Yeah. Just notice our students are the only one not clapping right now, right? There we go. And it's the same reason. We think it's going to help them be more attentive and present with the Lord. And so parents, this will be a really good week for you to start having maybe some conversations about that. Our student team will get some information to you about how they're doing that. But parents, we could really use your help in serving our student ministry team as they're doing that on a Wednesday night. And again, all of this is with the goal of just, God, we want to be present and attentive to you. This is why we fast. It's a chance to retrain our heart in these ways. So how do we resist? How do we wage this war? We do that by fasting, and we do that by feasting. The goal is not to eliminate distraction. The goal is to enjoy Jesus. Amen? That's what we're out for, right? We want to enjoy more of Jesus. The reason we fast from food and from phones is to feast on something better, and that something better is the person of Jesus. Tony Ranke, he said it this way. Social media, gaming, Netflix, just think of the buffet of the ways that we take in media stuff. Social media, gaming, Netflix, it's all built on one line. Here's the lie, okay, here it is. If you give more of your life to your screens, you will become more satisfied. That's the lie. And the truth is, most days we all believe it. And friends, that's a false promise. It will never deliver. But do you know who will? There's a person, right? There is the better portion. There is a person that if you'll give your attention to him, if you'll stay present to him, you will be more satisfied. The person has a name. His name is Jesus. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrases the last part of our passage, right? So Martha has come to Jesus. Jesus, you got to get Mary out of there and get her back here with me serving. And Jesus looks back, and here's the paraphrase that Eugene Peterson uses. The master said, Martha, dear Martha. Again, it's not Jesus shaming her, but inviting her into more. Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. Martha, one thing, only one thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It is the main course, and it won't be taken from her. Friend, there is only one essential thing. There is only one main course. And here's really the question of the morning for you. Have you, like Mary, chosen it? Would you bow with me? I want to give you a moment to allow the Spirit of God to press down the things that would be most helpful. If you are here with us today and you don't know Jesus, gosh, this is your chance to respond to him, to, like Mary, choose the one main dish. The one who can satisfy the deepest aches of your soul so you can right now turn from your sin, throw your life upon him as life, death, and resurrection, just holding your arms in the air and saying, God, would you save me? I'm trusting Jesus, and you can come have the main dish. Jesus stands so ready to rescue and save. And for the rest of us, this is the chance for us to begin to notice. Am I staying present with Jesus, or am I distracted from Jesus? If something is going to rob me this week of my Jesus enjoyment, of encountering the Lord, hearing from the Lord, what will that thing be? It's your time to notice it, to question it. But why am I so drawn to that? And friends, Jesus is calling us to resist. So Lord, would you help us? Would you come now and talk to us? Would you minister the good news of Jesus to us? God, would you convince us again today that Jesus is the main dish? That if we have chosen him, we have chosen the good portion. And so now, oh God, we turn our eyes and our gaze up to you. Here we are, God. Here's our attention. We offer it to you. And it's in the good name of Jesus we ask it.